Good morning, Flint City Church. I am happy to be here with you this morning. I want to take you guys back to a time of 1999 when musical artists filled the air such as Britney Spears and the Backstreet Boys, movies like The Sixth Sense and Star Wars were out. And for me, being a 10-year-old boy, nothing was better than having Star Wars and lightsabers and sword fights and all of these great things. Nothing was cooler. But unfortunately, I don't actually remember any of that stuff. What I remember from 1999 was 1 week in early summer when after every time my parents would put me to bed at night, I would stay up and I would think about the things of God. I remember for about a week straight, I would just stay up and I would think about the stories of Adam and Eve, Noah, Daniel in the lion's den, Jesus, all of these stories that I had heard on Sundays or Wednesdays or at VBS's or at whatever church event was going on. I remember just thinking about these things and wondering, are they true? Are they real? And we get to the end of this week, and God works in my life, and He confirms, and He's like, Joe, these stories you hear, they're all true. I love you, and I want you to be mine. I knew at that point that I was going to follow God the rest of my life. I knew His stories were true. I knew that He loved me, and I knew that He wanted me to be His forever. That is something I have a hope and a passion that you all know that God loves you, and that God wants to have this personal relationship. I love the Bible because one of the greatest things is like it's just filled with stories of ordinary men getting called by God to do something absolutely amazing, something so big and so great, there is no way that they could have done it on their own. They were called by God to do something. But before they were called and given what they were to do, they first had to know that. They had to know that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's how we start off here in Exodus 31. In Exodus 31, the Bible says this. The Lord says to Moses, "See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, and the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God." See, I believe that each and every one of us are called to do something great and very specific for the work of the Lord. To do something that we on our own could never do, but we could only do by God giving us the power and strength to do it. This guy, Bezalel, is just that. He's a guy that God calls by name. I believe, as the Bible tells us, that God calls us to Him. And when He calls us by our name because He wants to know and love and have a personal relationship with you. In Acts 2:38, the Bible says this. Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." First, each and every one of us, in order to understand what God can do for us, what God can create for us, what God can show us, the first thing we must do is we must repent and turn away from our sins. So that word repent means, it means we were sinners, we were doing wrong things, but we stopped, we put that behind us, and we started following God. It says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. We repent and we call Jesus Christ Lord, and we acknowledge and we love the fact that he died on the cross for our sins so that we may have a relationship with his Father God. There's a cool phrase that's found in both of these passages. In Exodus 31, the Bible says at the beginning part of verse 3, it says, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God. In the Old Testament, everybody wasn't filled with the Spirit of God. It was a very unique thing back in this day. See, we now, as it says in Exodus, you believe in Christ and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is something special for each and every one of us that God gave us after Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Is one of the greatest reasons why each and every one of us are able and capable of doing great things for God in this world. It is because he has given each and every one of us that believes the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the gift of the Holy Spirit that was given to Bezalel in Exodus 31 allows him to do a really great and amazing thing. The Bible says this, continuing verse 3, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with ability and intelligence, with knowledge and craftsmanship to devise artistic designs, to work in gold, silver, and bronze, in cutting stones for setting and carving wood to work in every craft. And behold, I have appointed with him a holy lab of the tribe of Dan. And I have given all able men ability that they may make all that I have commanded you, the tent of the meeting, the ark of the testimony, and the mercy seat that is on it, and all of the furnishings of the tent. Bezalel was given something here. He is given the ability to build and create the things that the entire nation of Israel would go into and worship. These places that would be later reserved for the priests and the high priests, this man Bezalel and his apprentice Oholiab were given the ability to build these things that so few men would go at. He's given the ability to build the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark, as the Bible says here, it says the Ark of the Testimony. He's given the ability to build these things that after they're created and they're anointed, no man would ever be able to touch. These things are things that Israel would carry with them to show that everywhere they went, the presence of God was always with them. And what's amazing is God gives the ability and the knowledge to make these things to two men who are just ordinary. They weren't called to go out and preach. They weren't called to pastor. They weren't called to work at a church, to work in the temple. These two men, they were called to build a temple. So oftentimes, we get stuck on this idea that the church is supposed to do all of these grand things. And we phrase it like the church is supposed to do things. For example, it would be a good thing if the church fed the entire city of Flint every single Saturday. So it would be a good thing. It would be a great thing. But so often we say, well, the church should do that. Not me. No. It's a good idea. It's cool. It's a great idea. The church should do it, but not me. Maybe God is using that idea to spark something inside of you. Maybe it's not something you should say the church should do, but it's something, hey, I want to do this. Will the church partner with me? Is it something the church approves? Is it something that the church can come alongside me and do? I've been here at Flint City since the beginning, a little bit after the beginning. I saw that Ernesto had made a post on something somewhere, probably was a blog, and I read it and I saw that he was gonna start a church here in Flint. At the time, I had gotten done with where I was supposed to be at this one church, and I was seeking God's plan. I was seeking what God had for me next. And God called me and my family to come here to Flint City Church. To stop working at churches, but to get a job in the world and to serve here at Flint City Church. See, so oftentimes we want to say and think the church should do this, the church should do that. Well, someone can do that. Someone that gets paid can do that. But sometimes the call that God has put on your life requires you to put down what you think is best and to focus 100% on what God has best for you. The jobs, I've been here 4 or 5 years now at Flint City Church. I've had 4 or 5 different jobs. These jobs, they aren't something I love. They aren't something I'm passionate about. But what they allow me to do is to provide for my family so that I can love this church. I can fulfill what God has called me to do in sharing the love of Christ with kids, with people, with my neighbors, with anybody that I run across here in the city of Flint. Because that is what God has called me to be. And I want to ask you, what is God calling you to be? What is God calling you to do? I mean, he called 2 average men to build an entire temple, to build the things Israel would carry around that would show the power and the might of God. Like, they were given these things to carry. What is God calling you to do? Many of you might say, well, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to serve. I don't know what roles I can fill. I don't know what to do. I don't even know where to start. And in Romans chapter 12, it gives us this idea, this passage that is really cool that many of you might or may not have heard. But either way, it's Romans 12, starting in verse 4. It says, "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not have the same function, so we, though many, are in one body in Christ, and individually members one of another." This passage is simply saying and trying to point out to all of us that we are all different. Each and every one of us, we are made very uniquely and created by God to fulfill a very specific purpose. This hand is supposed to do something different than this hand. My hand does not chew up my food for me to eat. My hand and my mouth both have different functions. And us as the church, the body of Christ, we all are to have a different function. Some of you guys shouldn't work in kids. And that's okay because you don't like them. But what you should do is find something you like. Each and every one of you should find something that brings you joy and brings you closer to God as you serve Him. For example, I hear many of you don't ever see me, or you see me once a month, once every 2 months, and you don't know that I'm here just about every Sunday. One of the things God has called me to do here at Flint City Church is to teach kids. I love teaching kids. I love explaining the Bible to them in a way they understand and in a way that they can love. Oh, I love it. And because I love it, because I serve it, God gives me things, gives me ideas that I could never come up with on my own. All right, for example, we had COVID, we were shut down for 2 months. When we come back, it is a great time. Like it is, kids get to see their friends again that they haven't seen in a long time. They get to have a good time. They get to meet here and talk about Jesus. We get to celebrate birthdays that we've missed. We get to do all of these things. And one of the things that if you've ever been around kids, you know is they love balloons. I don't know why it is what it is. They just love balloons. So I was like, well, okay, so it's a party. Let's have a party when we come back from COVID. Have a big celebration that we're all back together. I don't know, and we'll have a balloon party. Well, now this balloon party turned into filling up like 750 balloons and filling up the basement with balloons everywhere, a big balloon pit, we played balloon games, and we do all of these things. And do you know where that stuff comes from, those ideas come from? They come from the Holy Spirit working inside of me. I could never come up with this. But the Lord loves the children, and he was gracious enough to give us the money to buy balloons and to blow them up and have a good time. What I'm trying to tell you is, what I'm trying to say is, serving God does not have to be some big grand gesture where you're standing on a platform and talking to a bunch of people. Serving God is as simple as filling up a balloon. I mean, Bezalel probably never thought that he was going to be given the opportunity to build these great representations of God here on earth. What are you capable of doing with the work of the Holy Spirit? What I want to challenge you guys is to not just stop at where you can serve the church, but to use these gifts of God in the world out there. In Luke 11:33, the Bible says this: no one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar under a basket, but on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. Last thing I want to challenge you is to look at the gifts God has already given you. Maybe you're good at putting floors down. Maybe you're good at taking care of kids. Maybe you're good at sound. Maybe you have an interest in working on sound or cameras or lights or working with kids or toddlers or babies or anything else at church. Maybe you have an interest in that. And the greatest thing you can do is use that not only at the church, but in the world. When you see a person in need, you help them. You use these gifts that God has given you. So I had these neighbors. There was these four older guys. They lived next to me and my wife here in Flint. And they honestly, they had absolutely no idea how to use any tool. And from talking to them, they knew that for a while I was doing construction. I was able to, build things, build restaurants and this sort of thing. And And neighbors come over and they say, hey, we know you do work. Is there any way we can borrow some drills and like some stuff so we can put a thing on the wall? Well, what they were trying to tell me was, hey, is there any way that we can borrow a drill and anchors and drill bits and everything so we can take a TV mount, put it on the wall, and hang our TV on it? And they didn't know how to ask for any of that stuff. So it's like 9:45 at night. I stop everything I'm doing and I go to my truck. I get my tools. I go next door and I help them put up a TV. These four guys wanted nothing to do with Jesus. They wanted nothing to do with him. They probably hadn't been to church in 20 years. And I was given the opportunity with the skills God has given me with doing construction to go in their house and show them the love of Christ and put up a TV stand. Doing what God has called you to do doesn't have to be some grand gesture. It can be as simple as putting up a TV in a neighbor's house. Be the light in the world. Find God's calling for you and you in serving the church and serving the world. And once you find those gifts, what those things God has given you passion for, use them every time you can. Use them everywhere in the world and be the light to the world. Be the light to all the people so that they can know how great Jesus is and how much he means to you, that he changed your life, that you're willing to do all of these things for them. Be the light in the world. Church, have a great day.